Light Church. Today's sermon is Heal the Sick.
Now this morning I wake up, I felt a bit sentimental. And I was just thinking that how many of us remember the good old days when we used to raise our Bibles? How many of you remember that? Now today, no more just a Bible, you can raise all your electronic devices with your Bible. Let us say those things we say many years ago. This is my Bible. One more time. This is my Bible. It is God's word to me. I am what He says I am. I have what He says I have. I can do what He says I can do. Let it be unto me according to His word. Amen. Amen. How many of you remember that? Along the way, I got nostalgia. I say, that is one thing we used to do every Sunday, right? To remind ourselves that we are always in the Word. Hallelujah. Say to your neighbor, you are in the Word. Why? When am I in the Word? Because we were created through Jesus Christ, the eternal Word. And we were created through Him and for Him. So every time when we read the written word, it is an affirmation of what God has spoken about us long before the foundation of the world. Amen? Long before the foundation of the world, God already thought of us. He already knows our name. But He purposed for such a time as this that we are born in certain time, in certain places, that but we will come together at the right time and the right place to be a household of God. Amen? And when we were born as a church 8 years ago, it was an exciting time. It was a time in which God spoke to our spirit. And there was a wonderful time, the year 2008. You know, and Chinese, we like the number 8, right? Right? Let's look at the PowerPoint. Right? This is why we all started, as to shine for Christ. But we believe God is calling us not just to shine for Him in this city, but all over the world, that we are proclaiming Jesus, the gospel of God's grace to all people. Let us see together. Shine for Christ. Proclaiming Jesus, the gospel of God's grace to all people. Together right now. Proclaiming Jesus, the gospel of God's grace to all people. Come on, with more passion. Proclaiming Jesus, the gospel of God's grace to all people. And the guiding verse that we had, and we still have today, is from Proverbs. Anyone remember? All right, Proverbs 4:18, sorry. I was looking for it, I can't find it. But still good. The path of the righteous is like the first light of dawn, shining ever brighter unto the perfect day. We believe that we are called the righteous. We are not the self-righteous. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen? So there's none of us can be self-righteous. We didn't arrive by ourselves. We come to be where we are because of what the Lord has done. Amen? And so through our songs, through our worship, through our testimony, we are what the Lord has done for us. And we are the righteous. The world can get darker and darker. But for us, the righteous, as we walk the path of righteousness, we shine ever brighter. People today need answer, isn't it? They want to know what is happening. And not clear what's happening. After last night's election party, this morning, the whole nation woke up with a hangover. I saw it on the news this morning. Hungover, right? The fear of being a hung parliament. But we have no fear. God is still in control, amen? God is still raising good leaders in the government on both sides, or every side, that this nation will stand proud and shine for Jesus Christ. So our purpose is not to be political, because the kingdom of God is not political, but the kingdom of God addresses political issues. And that's why this morning we declare, we speak to nation. So we speak to nation to be free in Jesus' name. Now, let's look at number 8. 8 is good. All right, 8 is the signified so-called what? Resurrection and regeneration. Everyone say resurrection. Regeneration. Right, it is so-called the number of a new beginning. Hallelujah. After 8 years, we're having a new beginning. I declare that this is a year of redemption, a year of new beginning for us as a household of faith. We do not remember the former things anymore. Right? The former things could be our success, could be our failures, could be our victories, could be our no victories. But now it is. As we enter into a whole new season, even as we enter to our ninth year, we enter in the power of the resurrection. It's not us working. It's what Paul says, where I'm weak, I'm strong in the Lord. You know, too often we know we are weak, but we forget that the other side, that we are strong in the Lord. You get what I'm saying? So many Christians, you ask them, where are you in your journey? And they will say, I'm still weak. I'm still trying to get there. No, people, we're not just trying to get there. Though we are weak by ourselves, we are strong in the Lord every day. And this is what Paul says, though there's death surrounding him all the time, there is the life of Jesus Christ working in him because of the power of the resurrection. Now, there was once a great man of God who understood the power of the resurrection, that when he was thrown into prison for 40 years of his life, one of the things people like to do was this. Now, I don't ask you to try this at home. But people did it to him in prison. They literally beat him almost to the point of death. Right? They will use stones. They will use wooden poles. They will punch him. They will break his ribs. And they will chuck him by the prison ground. And because he was a strong believer, he was able to summon the power of the resurrection. He said, Lord, raise me up one more time. And immediately he stood up, completely walking without any pain, without any strain, because of the power of the resurrection. And people were amazed. In fact, for 40 years of his life, people actually beat him up just to see him summoning the power of the resurrection. Now, some of you may say, this is a crazy thing to do. This is a crazy thing to do. But do you know every time he did this, by the power of God, prisoners were getting saved. Prisoners were getting saved. Although he never left prison, he died just a day or two before he was supposed to release. Hundreds and thousands of prisoners who left that prison all were saved in the power of the resurrection. Amen. Now, that's why I say I don't suggest you try this at home. Don't try to hurt yourself and say, oh, now I summon the power of the resurrection. If you need to do that, means you have not stand in the revelation of the power of resurrection. The power of resurrection is working in us all time. And God has decreed it's a time of a new beginning. If you look at the scripture, it's always talking about a new beginning. If you look at when Jesus was risen from the dead, he said on the first day of the week, which actually was the eighth day. The eighth day is always represent something new is coming. A new beginning. Are you excited for a new beginning? Let me tell you about this guy called Peter. Let's look at that slide. Acts chapter 9, 32, 33. Now it came to pass, as Peter went through all parts of the country, that he also came down to the saints who dwell in Lydda. There he found a certain man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden 8 years and was paralyzed. If you look at the story behind, just prior to Peter going around encouraging the saints, we met Paul the persecutor, remember? Paul went out, so-called, persecuting the church, and he was gloriously safe. But for a time, because of the persecution, Christians were spread out everywhere from Jerusalem to all parts of, so-called, Asia Minor. And so, there was a time of rest from persecution, and the church began to grow. And Peter now began to visit different groups of believers, and he came to this place called Lydda. And Lydda is quite an interesting place. The name actually means strife. In the place of strife, he met a group of believers. Imagine, for example, Peter was ministering to this group of Christians for a while. And day after day, he came across this guy, or people mentioned his name, called Aeneas. And Aeneas has been bedridden for 8 years. Do you think First Light has been bedridden for 8 years? No. All right, don't put yourself there. But it can be something we can learn. Aeneas' name means blessed, or praiseworthy, or laudable, right? It means his name is praiseworthy. He is blessed. Aeneas is a believer. He is a type of a church. He is blessed, but yet, though he is blessed, he is paralyzed. Though he is blessed in the Lord, he has been lying down for 8 years in bed, feeling nothing. The Bible didn't tell us. Luke, who was a doctor who wrote Acts of the Apostles, didn't tell us what causes his paralysis. He didn't say whether he got a viral infection, whether he had a stroke, whether he fell down or have a terrible sickness. Nothing. But every day for 8 years of his life, Aeneas woke up feeling nothing. Feeling nothing. Feeling no strength, and he was just simply lying there. I don't know what crosses his mind, but imagine 8 years of his life, nothing happens to you. And then on his eighth year, he has the power of the resurrection and regeneration because it was his new beginning. Amen? No, there is a difference between rest and paralysis. The other day, I was having a conversation with someone, and someone said that, Pastor, you always preach rest. And I rest so much that nothing happens in my life. I said, that's not rest. That's called paralysis. There's a difference between rest and paralysis. Rest is being led by the Spirit of God. When we rest, we are still very productive. There are times we rest physically, we need to sleep. You get what I'm saying? But when we step into ministry, when we do the work of God, it is still a rest. Why? Because it is the power of God working in and through me. Amen? Because the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that's working in us to do the works of ministry. So if any time ministries take away rest, and when ministry becomes stressful or becomes a performance or become full of struggle and make you feel guilty, then brothers and sisters in Christ, that is no longer a rest. That has become a paralysis. Because if ministry makes you upset with people or make you upset with the church or with other leaders, then that is not called ministry. Right? That's called strife. You are still in the city of leader. But God is calling us by the power of His grace that when we serve Him, we serve from a place of rest. Some of us could be because of experiences. We have the paralysis of disappointment, or the paralysis of fear, or the paralysis of anger, or the paralysis of rejection. We simply don't want to get on going. Every day, though we call ourselves the blessed of the Lord, that we are blessed by God, yet we can wake up every day feeling paralyzed. You get what I'm saying? Some of you need to hear this. Turn to your neighbor and say, I think Pastor talking about you. All right. Some of you, no, Pastor not talking about me. Very good. But you could be bedridden by your own fear, by your own guilt, by your own personal condemnation. You could be bedridden by bad feelings about things. You can be paralyzed by all kinds of situation, while in all the time, God calls you blessed. So that's why sometimes Christians, we feel that we are very hypocritical. How can I say I'm blessed? I don't see the blessing of God. How can I say I have victory, but my life is a series of defeat? Come on, people. I'm not alone here, right? But then we need to go back to this interesting character called Peter. Peter was one guy who himself has his own paralysis of fear. Remember? Peter was never called Peter. He was called Simon. Simon means to be like a reed. Right? As the wind blow, he blows with the wind. If the wind blows too strong, he will break like a reed. Because reed don't have very strong, what I call that? Stamped, right? Easily just shaken. But over the time, through the grace of God, Peter became Peter. But the first time, remember, when he first met Jesus, Jesus said, you are called Peter. Though you are known as Simon, I'm calling forth your heavenly identity. Amen? You are not who you are, you know. You think you are who you are, you're not who you are. You're only who you are through your heavenly identity. Now, it sounds very complicated, but very simple. Have you ever wake up in life or somewhere in life you think, I'm not who I am? Right? Sometimes you have a sense of loss of identity. Who am I? Who am I? Right? You can write a song or that. But the truth is this. The only place you can find your heavenly identity is when you return back to the Father. Because when you know who is your Father, you know who you are. And you may know Jesus Christ is a return to your identity. You can't find your identity by yourself. That's why some people, without the Father, without knowing the Father God, they build their identity on their wealth, on their successes, on their achievements, on their talents. But when they lose their wealth, their talents, their successes and achievement, they come to a place of a loss of identity. But when your identity is forged out of a heavenly revelation that you were created through Christ and for Christ. Whether you have successes or no successes, whether you have many talents or you think you have very little talent, you know, you are never shaken. Because your life is meaningful in God's hand. You are blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Right. Too many of us must start to learn that our identity is not built out on what we can do, but our identity comes from what the Lord has done for us. So Peter himself went through this time of paralysis where he denied Jesus 3 times and he felt rotten about it. He was under a lot of condemnation. And then the Lord searched him out and restored him. How many of us have gone through time in our life, in our Christian faith, that we got lost ourselves somewhere? And the Lord came and searched us out and restored us. Amen. That's where we are here today. Because God met us somewhere along the way to restore us. Amen. There was no condemnation. When God restores us, there's never feeling make us feel guilty. He speaks the truth of where we miss it. And then he brings us back to the place of restoration. Next, what happened was this. Peter said to Aeneas, Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed. Now, does this sound very familiar? I always tell my grace preacher, if you can't think of a good sermon, steal from someone. Right? They all laugh. You know, we say, oh, we shouldn't plagiarize. Come on. This guy plagiarized. Right? So-called the first pope of the Catholic Church, Peter, the great apostle, he stole a line from Jesus Christ. But he stole a good line, in fact. Don't steal sermon and life don't change. In fact, you shouldn't steal sermon. You research on other people's sermon. And then you take the good stuff. You get what I'm saying? But here was Peter. He stole this line from Jesus Christ. Because remember, Jesus was ministering in Capernaum in his own house. And then the Bible tells us in Luke that the spirit of healing was there. There was an atmosphere of healing. But the Pharisees who were there, I'm sure some of the Pharisees were not feeling well that day. But they could not appropriate from themselves their healing. But then there was this fourth friend. Remember? Who came with this man who was paralyzed. In our life, let me tell you people, you better have this four friend who can carry you everywhere when you can't carry yourself anymore. Sometimes we think certain people are a burden. No, they're not a burden. We just need to bring them to the one who can take away their burden, and this person is none other than Mr. Jesus Christ. But imagine this four friend carry this guy. I don't know what his name. Let's call his name Joseph. They say, no, they go for picnic, let's bring Joseph with us. They go and play football, let's bring and run around a field with Joseph with us. Right, on his bed. But the day they knew Jesus was ministering, they climb out to the roof, they make a big hole in the roof and lower Joseph there. And then Jesus say, which is easier, for your sin to be forgiven or to take out your mat and walk? Many of us might think for God to forgive our sin is very easy, but for God to heal us, very difficult. But Jesus has settled the issue. For people to get saved and for people to get healed, it is the same power that's at work. Don't make one over more difficult than the other one. You get what I'm saying? So if you right now, if you are not a believer, for you to get saved, you simply say, Jesus, I believe that you died for my sin, that you are my Lord, my Savior. I believe you and I receive you in your most wonderful name. Amen. But you are sin and you're not feeling well physically. You just said, Lord, as you have saved me, it was so easy for you to save me. In a sense, it's easy for you to heal me in Jesus' name. There are days I woke up with pains and aches, but a whole day long, I'll just thank God. I just thank Jesus that healing is really mine. I'm not claiming for my healing. I have received my healing, and I'm experiencing my healing in Jesus' name. Some of you need healing right now. And this is what Jesus is about to us, that he is our healer, because he has created us through him and for him. And Jesus wants to let his power to be at work. And so here was Peter. Peter said, blessed. Church, you are blessed. But church, you are also paralyzed. Believer, you are blessed. But believer, you are also paralyzed. This household, you are blessed. By this household, you are paralyzed. But you know something? Jesus Christ heals you. Peter got his theology correct. He's not going to heal you, about to heal you, but now his power to heal you is now always there. Amen. So when we minister to people who are sick, don't think that we need to do something more for God to do something. We just simply need to declare, Lord, you have done it. We simply need to tell the person, the individual, that God heals you. Believe. You know, sometimes we are still looking for signs to, or we're looking for God to change at least a bit of signs and symptoms, or we think that, well, if that pain is no longer there, then healing's no. The moment you pray for healing, let me tell you, healing's starting. Even long before you pray, healing is always there. But we need to be like the people, their four friends, who knew the power of healing was available. Don't be like the Pharisees who was condemning Jesus for his methodology, for his theology, then not seeing that Jesus was at work, empowering the lives of those who need healing right now. What sort of healing do you need? Because if you don't let the Lord heal you, those pain, those hurt, those sickness can become that place of your paralysis. Sometimes, don't you think so? Think about it. Sometimes we say we want to do for God. I want to do this for God, but then because of this pain, I can't. I want to go the long distance for Jesus Christ. Because of this hurt, I can't. You get what I'm saying? And when the moment we say we can't is the moment we are moving into paralysis. The moment that we are getting ourselves not our bait, but bedridden. But here was Peter. Peter spoke. Because Peter himself experienced the power of grace in his life that shook him out of his own paralysis of fear, that Peter finally became that rock, that bold man. Remember, when Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, he denied Jesus 3 times. But on the night in which Peter was going to be executed, Acts tells us Peter was soundly asleep. Remember? And this is the first time it happens that God actually sent an angel to slap someone. You look in the Greek text, it literally means get slapped. Now, some of us, somebody watch this angel's TV, right? I'm an angel sent by God. Never see one time, one episode, the angel actually slapped someone. Right? You know the person is the angel the moment the spotlight is on. See? I'm an angel sent from God. You know, and people feel all this gushy feeling. But here was Peter. He was so bold, he was not going to worry about whether he lives or he dies because he's no longer paralyzed by any fear that the angel actually slapped him and said, wake up! Right, tighten out your belt. Time to go. And he went. See, that is the difference. Peter rests. And then he was no longer in fear. But when you are paralyzed, you're always full of fear, you're always frustrated, you're always wondering why it happens to you. Bible is always quiet. Bible never tells us why it happened. Almost in the New Testament, almost, I say, okay? I still have to read it again and again, but almost never one time there was a reason why someone was sick. See, Jesus doesn't need a reason to say, how come you are sick? Huh? He never did. He just said, I'm simply here to minister God's grace. Almost no time ever happened in Scripture, in the New Testament, Paul or Peter ever come to a sick person. How come you're sick? Never. Say, the Lord Jesus is here to heal you. Peter say, silver and gold I have none, but what I have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. I think this is a good methodology for ministry. Don't go around asking people, hey, how come you're sick? Huh? Because the more the person describes how come that person is sick, you know what happened? Faith oozes out from you. Oh, I have this sickness for 25 years. 25 years? Oh, I'm just a Christian, this is 2 months old only, right? You know, a lot of great men and women of God pray for me. Benny Hinn prayed for me. Joyce Meyer prayed for me. Billy Graham. What, A to Z? None of them can do anything. Now you want to pray for me. By the time you listen to the kind of testimony, it's not called testimony, it's called destruction. You no longer have faith in you. The truth is, brothers and sisters in Christ, you and I do not possess any power to heal people. If you go in your name, not going to work. I can guarantee you, don't need faith. Common sense will tell you. If I go in my name, in the name of Richard Tan, I heal you, he's still going to be shot. By the power of God. Oh, wrong person. But seriously, if I go in my name, there's no effect on people's life. Come on, people. But we go in the name of Jesus Christ, great things is going to happen. Great things is going to happen. The moment he spoke the word of healing to Ananias, arise! Make your bed! The Bible tells us he arose immediately. Don't diagnose people. God did not call us into a healing ministry to diagnose people. Right? We leave it to the professionals. But we go in the power of the name of Jesus and we pray for people and then we speak forth the truth. Something will happen. And then we know what happened? It says in verse 35, so all who dwell in Lydda and Sharon, what happened? Saw him and turned to the Lord. Remember, Lydda means strife. Sharon means plateau. It means there are people who are whole life full of strife. Never sort out their life. Or there are people who have reached a plateau that God may not work anymore. Sometimes both group of people come to a point, they say, can God do anything marvelous? I pray, but my life is full of strife. Or I come to a plateau. I don't think God can do any more things with me. Both are expression of unbelief. Because the moment the blessed rise up and walk, the one who is in strife or the one who has plateau say, what has the Lord done for this guy? Because, you see, for 8 years, everyone knew, not just everyone in their little village, everyone in big cities heard about this guy, Ananias, who was a believer who has been paralyzed and bedridden for 8 years, but today there is a new beginning. And if God can do a new beginning for one guy, God can do a new beginning for a whole entire city. Imagine for a moment God do a new beginning with us. Don't imagine, it's true. He's doing a new beginning in our midst. But imagine on our 8th year, God has done a new beginning. God is saying to the Ananias in our midst, arise and walk. I'm sure something powerful is going to happen. You know, I was preparing this sermon a couple of days ago. You know, the Lord says, do you believe that from this church, you're going to see a lot of creative miracles happening? Well, I'm the only one. Do you believe that out of this church, creative miracles is going to happen? Do you believe that some of us are going to see one of the few most powerful miracles ever happen in our lifetime? Don't say, yeah. Say, it's me. I'm going to be the one. I'm going to be the one. I'm going to make people with no eyeballs have eyeballs. I'm going to be the one people with crooked back, they're going to be straightened up in Jesus' name. You know, years ago, I met this man of God, interesting guy. God called him to minister in India. And he was telling me this incident, that he was very fearful of doing healing ministry because he was always concerned about the result. And the Lord one day revealed to him, you are not responsible for the result. You are if you do it in your name. But if you do it in my name, I am responsible for the result. Come on, people. We need to be set free from that. We need to be set free from that. Many times we don't dare to pray for people believing for great things to happen because we still think we are responsible for the result. But God is responsible. If He called us, we will do it. And so he went and he came this person with 2 glass eyeballs. And the person said, pray for me that I can see. Wow. And the Lord revealed to him, remember? Don't go in your name. See, when we do ministry, the secret is never attach your name to Jesus. In a sense, it's like a partnership, like Jesus and Richard, healing ministry. Not going to work. It must always be Jesus healing ministry, you know? You get me now? Whatever we do, don't try to put your name and Richard. No and. Richard in Christ, yes. But no and. You get what I mean? But when we do it in Jesus' name, we're going to see powerful things happen. And so he realized that, and he just laid hands in the name of Jesus, be seen. And the woman grew two new eyeballs. I could see the Lord. Amen. Let's give God a clap offering. Come on. When we hear testimony like this, it stirs our faith. Are we going to make mistakes? Yes. But I'd rather us to fail in the Lord than succeed without Him. Because it's time for Ananias no longer to be paralyzed by fear or by anger, by disappointment, by anything, but that person, the believer who know he or she is a blessed of the Lord, can do marvelously for God. And I declare that today is the new beginning. The first line is a healing center. It's a place of healing of all nations. People who come here are going to receive healing. And healing can come in many forms. I don't care. As long as people get healed, they get healed. Be it physical, emotional, whatever it is, they are going to receive the power of God that we're going to be our lifetime. And you better say, Pastor, it's going to be me. It's going to be me in my lifetime. I'm going to see creative miracles, restorative miracles happening in my lifetime. I'm going to lay hands and say, I'm going to see them make whole and make well in Jesus' name. Because we are called to be the healing to the nation. Look at what Jesus said to us. Right, in Luke chapter 10, verse 8 to 9, he says what? Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. Right, because this is the practice of hospitality. Because Jesus said, wherever you go, where people receive you, you bless them. What is the best way to bless people? Not after they sneeze, you say, bless you. Right? It's very interesting, our human behavior. Where people sneeze, we bless them. Where they cough, we frown at them. After all, it's the same air coming anyway from their lungs. Isn't it? Think about it. But somehow, people sneeze, bless you. They call, hey, don't spread. You know, we're scared. But he says what? Everywhere you go, to bless someone is to heal the sick there and say to them, the kingdom has come near to you. So when someone is not well, in Jesus' name, the best blessing is to pray for them, heal the sick, and say to them, kingdom has come near to you. No, we have forgotten what it means to be so exciting to be a church. That we have people, honestly, we have the goods. We have Jesus, you know. We have the goods. We don't need anything more than to be who we should be in Jesus' name. Peter, who was delivered from his own paralysis, went to minister to someone who has been paralyzed. You know, every time you are delivered from your own fear, your own disappointment, your own anger, that becomes an assignment for you to pray for someone else, to minister to someone else. When the Lord heals you of your disappointment, heals you of your pain, or your hurt, it is an opportunity given to you to look for those Ananias who are also blessed, but it has been a long time they felt the blessing of God in a real and tangible way. Come on, there are people that you know right now in your mind, God is saying to you. There's someone that you know, a loved one, a friend. It's been a long time they know the blessing of God. You go. Here, we cannot just say city in terms of just mission. It could be mission. But city can mean my office place. It can mean my home. It can mean a place in which I'm welcome. And when you go to a place where you're welcome, You are given the power to create that place into the welcome of God. That God welcomes His people as well. God has no issue with the broken, with the disappointed, with the hurting. But God says, you go and heal the sick. If you never know what is the will of God in your life, three words, heal the sick. That's it. We may have many assignments. God may cause us to different nation, different situation. But the will is always the same. Heal the sick. So if you change company, if you change location in terms of moving your house, you change school or you change uni, whatever it is, not too often we ask, what is God's will? As if it's in terms of a location or a career move or a choice we make for our business. But God's will is so simple to say, no matter where you are, create my welcome for these people. Just heal the sick. Can we do it? Like too often we are struggling to know God's will in so many permutations, but His will is so simple in just three words, heal the sick. What should I say to them? If people ever ask you to preach, as Peter took it from Jesus, arise, make your mate. We also take it from Jesus. The kingdom of God has come near to you, because healing is the evidence of the kingdom. If you are in a kingdom, healing is your credential. If you are in a kingdom, healing validates that you are son and daughter in Jesus' name. This is a new beginning for us. Don't remember the former things anymore. Leave it where they are. But today, as you leave this place, just do this simple thing. Heal the unwell everywhere you go. And give them a word of assurance. The kingdom of God has come near you. Let's all rise right now. Oh, hallelujah. Let's raise our hands in Jesus' name.